You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. WMDX. Yeah, yeah. It's John and Gordy in the morning. And it's a beautiful morning indeed.
Yes, it is. Although there is some fog in some of the areas out there. Some
It'll
of
the burn off areas. A little bit later on.
Of course it will. 55 currently, highs near 80 degrees this afternoon. We'll see a mix of clouds and some sunshine. Our 500th episode here and our surprise guest for
our
this
special
morning.
Guest is Sam, our former producer here.
Yeah, Sam Davis.
You know, you mentioned the fog is going to burn off later today. You know what I did yesterday for the very first time?
What?
I checked my windshield wipers.
See?
Good.
I bought some windshield wipers for the first time, and so foggy this morning, I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Did you install them yourself?
I did.
It's almost
is this
like
on
magic,
the VW
it?
Bug?
It is, yeah.
Did you drive here today?
I drove down here today.
Wow. All right, so it's out there in the parking lot.
That is so cute.
You ever seen it there, Dom?
I have never seen
it.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
It's
so ugly.
It
is.
It's ugly.
It's just an incredible car. It really is. Yeah. I mean, you know, these are flat windshields. There's no curve to them.
God. What year is it? 74?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Now, you were talking about the fact that, you know, you're getting an apartment, but you needed to get another guy to go in on it, or else they wouldn't accept your application, so on and so forth.
Sure.
I got a story here. Here are the 20 metro areas with the greatest increase and decrease in apartment construction. We'll forget about the increase. We are at the bottom. Madison
really?
Is at the bottom of construction of new apartment buildings in the nation.
Find that hard to believe
Chicago,
this summer.
Chicago beats us. I know, with all the buildings going up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Maybe next year we'll be a little higher up in the rankings.
Yeah.
But, that's that's why you're having trouble.
Yeah. I can't believe it because they tore down my old house in order to build a new, like,
did
a 10-story. But yeah, did I not tell you guys?
Yes.
No.
Oh, no, you
was,
did. You
oh,
did. I remember
I
that.
Sure.
I was driving along Johnson Street probably almost a year ago now.
Yeah.
And
they had your stuff out in the street and they were tearing the building down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's not an easy thing to get.
Wow. So, okay. Well, should we get to your, you know, we'll go back in time.
Oh, do I really have to open this book? 4 months.
Well,
of dust.
I don't know.
It's very dusty. I
got
I know.
Used to not having dust around the studio. Okay, open the damn thing.
Okay. Oh, Sam. Is it like a throat lozenge?
I forgot.
Wait a minute.
I forgot you do that. Oh my God, that scared me.
Yeah.
You okay?
God, Gordy, why did you make me do that?
No. Oh, threw a lung. Okay.
All right. You know, I always love this part of it.
Well, at least, I'm sure you do. Well, at least we can find out what happened on this.
Yeah,
history.
Finally.
Named Jesse Owens ring a bell?
Yes.
Sure.
Jesse
Olympic.
Owens was, he was the black Olympic runner.
Yeah.
In the, what would it be, 1939?
Something like
Olympics?
That.
Olympics, he was born on this day in 1913.
Wow.
He won a bunch of medals and Hitler was not happy.
Yeah. Turned away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clenched his fist, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Well, he was a DEI hire, so.
Yeah.
Okay. What else happened on this day? September 12th.
We've got, we have some more black history and some space history.
Mm.
Mae Jemison became the first black woman in space on this day in 1992.
Okay.
And then some more space history. The USSR, they launched Luna 2, which was the first human-made space probe to hit the moon. And if I could be wrong about this, but I think their main goal was literally to just fire it straight at the moon.
Yes.
They just wanted to see
what happened.
Yeah.
It was like an old silent movie where they shoot the rocket into the eye of the moon.
Right. Yeah, it was hard landing. Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, something you guys would be plenty familiar with. Today in 1966, the Monkees debuted on TV.
Oh, really?
Turn on the TV. Let's see if they're on right now.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, it's on.
Yeah. Oh, this is a great intro. Crank it. Yeah.
Everyone we meet. Hey, we're the Monkees. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Oh, Oh, yeah.
Everybody watched that show.
They did.
You were our age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it was
watch
so
it now. It's a
fun.
Little boring. But.
Kind of broke the mold. I mean, it was not a typical sitcom at all. It was kind of a takeoff on what the Beatles had done with A Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of took that and made it into a TV show.
Or The Ruddles.
Or The Ruddles. Yeah. Right?
So, yeah, but here's the thing, you know, that made me angry about it. I really wanted to believe that they played their own instruments.
Oh, God.
And produced their
really?
Own songs. Yeah, I just couldn't accept the fact that it was a manufactured group.
Mm.
I mean, they sound so good in the intro, right?
They were all still musicians, weren't they? They
just
played together.
They never played that up. Oddly, they never really talked about it much. Yeah, they don't have any talent, but we put them all together. That was the explanation at the time. Mm. But, you know,
Mike Nesmith actually
was a great songwriter.
He wrote Different Drummer.
Yeah,
for Linda Ronstadt. Yeah. And he was really good. And Peter Tork was a really good musician.
Yeah.
And they were great. You know, they were good singers. Davy Jones. Had some
Mickey Dolenz, good drummer.
Yeah, he was okay.
Well, circus boy.
Circus
come on,
boy.
What are you talking about? Okay. Yeah, Mr. Drummer guy over here, Mr. Critic.
He didn't drum when they played out concerts.
Oh,
usually.
He didn't?
No, he would
but
play
like
one or two
like
songs.
The lead singer. He had to get out on stage and sing.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Here I am again defending
the
monkeys.
We're arguing about the monkeys. Okay. Sam, is that it for the history for
the Beatles? Like the monkeys?
Oh yeah, they were.
Get
pals.
Off your high horse.
they were pals. Yeah. Okay. What are we doing here? Okay. Can you close the book? Is that? Do we need to close the?
No, I'm not touching that thing again.
Okay. Really? Is that it? All right.
Sam, anything else you want to offer at this time?
No, that's about all we got today.
Okay.
No!
There we go.
Why did you push it towards me?
Sorry, buddy. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, God, it's close now.
Don't cry, okay? Never. Don't cry.
Oh, no. It's so sad.
Oh, my God.
What a great reunion.
Right.
It's okay, I'm better now.
Okay. Well, let's get to a little bit of Idiocracy, huh? What do you think?
Yeah. You guys ready for Idiocracy?
Well, I don't know. Sam, what do you think? You're our guest producer today. What do you want to do?
Why am I your guest producer?
Yeah.
I don't work here anymore.
He's retired, man. He's retired.
Yeah, okay. I'm retired.
All right,
I'm like you guys. You guys are still stuck here.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want anybody to know that we were stuck here.
It's our 500th episode. Come on. Give us a break.
All right. Well, why don't we get
We've never worked this long together. Ever.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah.
At one place or just in
at
general?
One place? At one.
Okay, yeah.
For so many days in a row.
Right.
Because we did have our Tuesday night cable access show.
We had that. Yeah. For a while.
And then we had
what in the world is wrong with the management here compared to all of the other radio stations you worked with?
Yeah.
Haven't they learned their lesson yet?
Yeah, apparently not. So, okay. Yeah, we worked at Triple M for like 8 months.
8 months. Yeah.
That was that.
Well, that was the big thank you.
I don't know how long we were in MAD. A couple of, you know,
we were there a year and a half or so. Yeah,
until
they turned it off. I mean, it was turned off.
Went dark.
Of course, you had left prior to that, though.
Yeah.
For better jobs, I guess.
For TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
how
a big disappointment for me.
You had other hosts, co-hosts.
Yes.
Arnie.
Arnie was a lot
great.
Of fun.
Arnie was terrific.
He was a crazy man. He really was. But, I had a few in there. All right.
Can't wait, we got a message. I don't understand. Catherine says, shut up, Sam.
I told you guys during the break, don't let me hijack the show.
Oh, okay.
See, I guess Catherine thinks that I'm hijacking the show.
Okay.
Yeah. See? Yeah,
this was a good
idea. She's always been critical. Well, let me get to our first story here for Idiocracy.
Okay.
Right? And it's not so much Idiocracy. I guess it does refer to an idiot, the person we have in the White House right now. And this is Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, as they like to call him. And he was the Transportation Secretary as well. Pete's not real happy with the repeal of... airline passenger benefits. You know, when you get there and they cancel your flight or delay it, they should compensate you for it. That's what the Biden administration decided to do.
Mm.
Well, that's gone now. Let's listen to Pete himself.
Okay.
Hey, it's Pete. I'm changing planes and wanted to say something quickly about what's going on with passenger protections in the Trump administration. If you know anything about our work at the DOT when I was secretary, you probably know that we worked hard to make sure that you can get your money back when airlines let you down. But under President Trump, the Department of Transportation is starting to dismantle that work. We just learned last week that they are eliminating a rule that we lost to get you compensation in the event industry you led. And they filed paperwork showing that they may get rid of other rules or weaken them, like rules that make sure that you can get your money back if the airline charges you a fee for something you don't get. Or a rule that just says the airlines at least have to tell you what their fees are before you pay. This is part of a pattern on everything from credit card fees to now the way airlines treat passengers. The Trump administration is always picking corporations over consumers. If there's any good news in this, it's that there is a public process coming where you can go on the record and tell them exactly what you think of these changes.
Well, I don't know if that's encouragement because we have those special get-togethers in the legislature. You know, they always get people in, you know, tell them what they think about their legislation, their proposed bills. And it turns out like 99% of the people that show up are against them, but they pass them anyway. So, you know, if the administration wants to do it, they're going to do it. That's the way that is. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got another story here. And we talked about socio-democracy, right? In Sweden. We brought that up the other day. Well, here's the story. According to an individual who wanted to just get this out there about Sweden, their beloved country, they said, we have Social Security, public college is paid for, a nationally regulated, locally administered universal health care system, a $400 cap on all your costs for health care for that year. Strict gun laws, all that kind of stuff. So,
Sweden.
That's Sweden, yeah. This is all funded with higher taxes. But remember, it costs so much less when everybody pitches in and pays their taxes and paying it individually. And that's why we do this kind of stuff. Plus, you won't lose your hard-earned savings due to one health care cost.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
One emergency and everything you've saved up over the years for your family to send your kids to college is gone in an instant. So Sweden's got the right idea. And it's socio-democracy. It isn't, you know, socialism and, you know.
People get hung up with the labels.
Communism. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, if Sweden can do it, why can't we do it?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
Sam, your opinion. Okay. Thank you. Just kidding.
All right. And I guess I'm just going to throw this in for the heck of it.
All right. We've got a couple of minutes here.
It's Barron T. News. Our nation's nightmare has only just begun, folks.
Oh, no.
Barron's X handle is Barron Trump flag emoji commentary, described as son of the 45th and 47th president of the United States of America commentary account. No affiliation. I have no idea what that means.
No affiliation.
He's denying that he's actually a son of Trump.
On his own.
Yeah. One of the stories, breaking. Should Trump sign an executive order to repeal Obama's propaganda bill, which lets government officials and the media spread misinformation without consequences? Yes or no? Yeah. This is a scary thought that this guy's going to be out there doing more of Trump's work for him.
Barron Trump.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew there
mark.
Was something wrong with that guy.
Okay.
But he's just a kid, so I really shouldn't say.
Well, he's how old is Barron Trump now?
I have no idea.
Let's look that
he's
up.
He's in his 20s. I don't know. We'll look it up.
You think so?
I think he's early 20s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, early 20s.
All right. All right. We're coming back with more of John and Gordy for this 500th episode after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We can change the world. We are ready.
Always working on getting better. This is John and Gordy on WMDX 92.7 and also on your Civic Media app. Check it out and text us or voice note us.
It is 6:52. We have cloudy skies, maybe a scattered shower or a sprinkle during the early going. Mid-50s to start things out. We'll get into low 70s later. Marta Hansen is joining us now. She has the Piano Gal Shop in Sun Prairie. She's a singer and a songwriter, and welcome to the show, Marta.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you with us. So you have a song, and I think, why don't we just play a bit of this first? It's called Bang Bang.
Yes.
And we'll explain a little bit how you came to write this song and why.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go ahead and play that, Dom. Just a bit of the song.
That's infectious.
It really
is a good tune.
Marta, how did you come to write this?
Well, like I said, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I write what I know, and I write about a lot of social issues. And I've been a volunteer for a national organization, Moms Demand Action, for many years. I'm a state lead volunteer, which is a gun violence prevention organization. Mm-hmm. We work a lot of behind the scenes, unglamorous, thankless work with, you know, talking to legislators, working on changing the laws and building awareness and community partnerships and all of the things. And I have kids. I have two teenagers. And I wanted to combine my advocacy with my creativity and my art and write a song about gun violence from the perspective of a parent. Of that fear that I truly have every single day taking my kids to school. Mm. When it starts off as a regular day and in a blink of an eye, it happens all the time. That parent who dropped their kids off and they get that phone call, they get that text, and they're running to the school wondering if their child is okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I was under the impression you had written this, you know, in light of the recent shooting at Abundant Life, but you actually wrote this in 2023.
I did. Yeah, I wrote it in response to a different shooting, and it's gained a resurgence since then. And I realized, you know, I wanted to, with, you know, it happening so close to home, I wanted to create a visual with it to maybe inspire more people to get involved, to take action, to volunteer, to donate, to feel, you know, what that must feel like for a parent to go through and for a child to go through. So the video came about, and that's premiering soon.
It's premiering this weekend?
Saturday. Yeah, the video premiere is this Saturday at Beer Rock on Sherman Avenue. And I'll be premiering the music video, and there'll be info table with Moms Demand Action, Be Smart for Gun Safety for Kids, and Focused Interruption, which is a local Madison nonprofit That is a Madison violence prevention organization. And then I'll have also live music from Twyla Bergeron, Steve Baker, and Bear in the Forest.
Oh.
And then myself as well. So pretty exciting. And then it'll be available online for the whole world after the premier event.
You know, moms have made some great suggestions to the legislature and how to try to help stop a lot of this from happening.
Yeah.
Simply, you know, red flag laws.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many good suggestions, and yet they have rejected everything. And
yeah.
It's good to have somebody out on the front line trying to change what's happening out there. You know, they'll go in and invade a city simply because an immigrant killed a citizen in this country, but they won't do anything about mass shootings in our schools.
Yeah.
And I just watched a video on X where they showed what was going on, how they train, how they do this drill that they do, have the kids go
active
through these drills. Yes.
Yep. And which are just traumatic in and of themselves.
Yes.
Just watching it, just watching it was traumatic for me.
It is. And my kids, it's become like a normal part of their adolescence, which is just unacceptable. And there are so many common sense things that we're pushing for every single day that should be done. Sadly, we need more voices to stand up. The more we do, we can change public opinion and we can, you know, get people, our legislators, to actually do something about it.
We just have a minute left here, so let's recap. Saturday, what time?
Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Beer Rock.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about Moms Demand Action, it's just momsdemandaction.org.
Yes, momsdemandaction.org. And my song is available on Spotify, Apple Music, all streaming platforms. And then it'll be on YouTube, the video on Children's Film Academy of Madison.
Excellent. Marta Hansen, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And stop out at Piano Gal Shop in Sun Prairie sometime. It's a great place you have there.
Thank you. Yes. Appreciate it.
All right. We will continue with more of John and Gordy in the morning. Mike McCabe joins us in our 7 o'clock hour. Stay with us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning, Dom at the controls, time once again for,
yes,
Amicus, a law review.
Yes, we have Jim Santel standing by here. It is 7:35, highs today in the mid-70s, right now 56 degrees. Before we get to Jim, Mark has been waiting patiently the phones here. Mark, go ahead with your comment, and we need you to keep it a little short here. We have Jim waiting for us, but go ahead, please.
Not a problem, brother. Charlie Kirk, who actually, you know, didn't mind, you know, school shootings at all, and thought that was just the price we have to pay for it. Considering the Second Amendment is always secure liberties, I mean, that our liberties are established by our governments. To secure these rights, you know, governments are instituted among men. The preamble to the Constitution includes both the general welfare and domestic tranquility in it. Mm-hmm. And these guys have, for a long time, Charlie Kirk and his conservative minions, and the whole thing is, they're protesting the things that they're protesting in the Confederacy, the doctrines of natural liberty, human equality, and the social contract. They do not believe there's a social contract out there. And the shooting of Charlie Kirk was unacceptable, but for these people to say, well, it's declaring war against us, I mean, for God's sakes, they got, what, Alex Jones talking about this, the guy who denies Sandy Hook happened? We did not have declared war on conservatives over the shooting of the people in Minneapolis or any other, you know, Giffords was in Arizona who got shot, we didn't declare war then against conservatives because that was a conservative that shot her. I mean, that
Gabby Giffords.
Asymmetric warfare that they're practicing against us is, and we can't, you know, hate using the word war, but it's got to be a war of words. It can't be a war of bullets.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Well said.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I forgot about
Gabby Giffords. Giffords. Yeah.
That was another.
That was horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Example. I don't want to list examples. We just got to get rid of these damn weapons. And let's talk to
Jim Santel,
our guest this morning, and find out what your input is, what your thoughts are on all of this.
Yeah, Jim
what do you think about this?
Good morning, gentlemen, to your listeners. Another profoundly sobering day in the life of America and the history of our nation. We know, frankly, what the solutions to this are. I'll offer a couple of things. I happen to be there serving as the president of the board of directors of a group called WAVE. Mm-hmm. It is a nonpartisan, nonpolitical group that advocates for rational, reasonable, balanced, and legal and constitutional conditions on the possession and use of firearms. We know going back to 2008, the first time in our nation's history, that in a case called Heller, Antonin Scalia said for the first time in our history that there is a constitutional right to possess weapons individually in the home for self-defense purposes. We never interpreted the Second Amendment that way before until 2008. It was reaffirmed just a few years ago in another case called Bruin. Again, another Supreme Court justice writing for the majority said that you can also take those weapons out into the street and you've got a constitutional right. That's the law in America, and yes, we embrace the rule of law even on a day when we have had these horrific events, plural, yesterday. Mm. We know what the statistics are. We can all cite them, and we condemn with absolute clarity
yes.
and without condition everything that happened yesterday as to Charlie Clerk at Utah Valley University and mm-hmm. the students at Evergreen High School, the many others. It is all unacceptable. It is all tragic. And here's the point of all that. In 418 days from today, you know this well, 418 days from today, we go to the polls and we elect the 120th Congress of the United States of America. That includes 435 members of the House of Representatives. That includes a third of the United States Senate. If you go to the polls and you elect people who are committed to making a difference and changing what happened in America, you can do it. Why? Because we know what works. We know that if you get rid of assault weapons in America, that happened back in the 90s. We know that the incidents of these kinds of things happen. We know that if you do the gun show loophole and create universal background checks, we know that that works. We know that safe gun storage works. We know that extreme risk protection orders work. I can go on. WAVE and others talk about these things all the time. How do we know that they work? Because in those states in the country that have enacted these kinds of things, they have got a dramatically, dramatically, statistically lower incidence of, yes, school shootings and mass shootings and individual shootings of the sort that we are once again talking about America. America, you know what works. Go to the polls in 418 days from today and elect people who in their first hours and the 120th Congress on January 2nd of 2027 will introduce legislation and pass it and change America so that we can begin to address these issues. We know what happens. We know it works to respond to it. And we've got it within our purview to make a change here so that Charlie Kirk's and the Evergreen High School and all of the others that we can talk about, 309 mass shootings in America just since January 1 of this year alone, mass shootings, four or more people shot. We can change that. And when the people look back on the history of this time and they're going to ask whether it's children, grandchildren, what did you do? The answer is we knew what we could do. It's effectively like solving a serious medical issue. We've got the solution to it. The question of history will be, why didn't you act? Why didn't you stop to do this? And the answer is Americans have it within their purview to do just that. We've always had it within our purview. Mm-hmm. 418 days from now, you go to the polls. And not single-issue voters, but people who, again, are rational, reasonable people who will say, yes, indeed, we can enact these things. We can make a safer nation where the Charlie Kirks of the future are not assassinated, where the children at Evergreen High School are not shot. We can do this, and let's do it. Let's make it happen.
So you head up a group called WAVE, and you're looking yes. at the best ways to control firearms in some way, shape, or right. form. You know, the right has complained about this kind of control, even though they say guns are a right that we have, constitutional sure. right that we have, but we also have a constitutional right to vote. And they made us right. jump through hoops, one hoop after the next, just to cast a ballot. That's okay, but we can't put one hoop up, for owning a gun, which drives me crazy. Now, here's a point. RFK Jr. came up with another gun violence excuse, SSRIs, And that's a class of medications used to treat mental health conditions like depression and anxiety. While MAGAs blame mental health for shootings and the need for treatment, RFK Jr. is now saying that the treatment and those drugs are turning people into shooters. So you can't even use the drugs nowadays,
right,
you can't treat people with mental conditions because the drugs are creating shooters too. There's no way out of this box.
Exactly. And to those points, that is the solutions that are out there. Again, here's your civics lesson, which I am always inclined to do with the two of you and all of your listeners. I talked about Heller back in 2008, yeah. Bruin in 2015. In both of those cases, you know who told us that your right to carry firearms is conditional? It can be restricted and can be limited by the government.
I know who you're talking about.
Antonin Scalia.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
And he says that, you know what, there's nothing about our decisions. And yes, Clarence Thomas and others recite the same thing in Bruin 3 years ago. There is nothing about the right under the Second Amendment, and it is there. Yes, we can debate whether or not it really is there, but that is part of our constitutional law today. You have a personal right to own weapons. You do not have an unconditional right. And so when people say, Jim, I've got gun rights. Yes, you do. Absolutely. And there's also a prerogative, and I would offer an obligation of government to restrict those based upon all sorts of things, including the places and times of manufacture, sale, distribution, use, possession, all those kinds of things. And Antonin Scalia and the United States Supreme Court have said that your right to own and possess and, yes, use weapons in America is conditioned. It is restricted by all of those things. There is nothing about the list I gave before that is unconstitutional. You can do all of those things tomorrow within the ambit of the constitutional law. Do it. It's just that simple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Boy, that's well said.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. We've got CJ on the line. CJ, what do you got for us today?
Thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Gentlemen. Sad day in America.
Yes.
You know, and I've heard some of your callers, they sure don't know Charlie Kirk, because the man preached about God and country, faith, and the love of his fellow human beings. And he called people to the microphone, front of the line, like you guys do sometimes, people that disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I met him twice, proudly.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone say that he loves school shootings or whatever. He spoke the truth about the black community. Only 20% of kids born in the black community have a father or two parents in the home today, compared to probably 25, 30 years ago, which it used to be 80%. He cared about the black community. He wanted kids to have both parents in the home because he saw the destruction of the family structure. And he preached, he loved to have people dispute or question his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't believe, you shouldn't believe that this man preached hate, because if you hear him, he's trying to, whether you agree with him or disagree with him, he treated people with respect.
Well, he said that he didn't really trust black pilots. I think there's a problem there. What do you think of his quote where he said, I think
we just played that. What he said was, if they're getting extra points,
he doesn't know that, though. CJ doesn't know that. So to assume because they're black, do they have that training?
They tried to infuse DEI.
Let's set that aside for a second. What about his comment?
Okay.
I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our God-given rights. How about that comment? He became a victim himself at this point.
Well, I tell you what, he did it doing what he believed. He didn't believe in violence. He didn't believe that it's okay.
But it's okay for people to lose their lives just as long as we keep the Second Amendment.
I think we should keep the Second Amendment. Legal gun owners But, and law-abiding citizens.
But some gun deaths every single year is okay. Having some gun deaths per year is okay. Just so we have that right.
Well, I tell you what, it's not going to change.
All right.
Legal gun ownership should be allowed in this country.
It should change.
These people that are evil, it's the person that pulled the trigger, guys.
Yeah.
It's not the gun.
No, it is the gun. Actually, it was a gun, by the way, a long distance away from a building top. So if he had a knife, it wouldn't have been a danger. All right. Oh, no, CJ, we got to go. We've got our guest here. Okay. I want to mention this too, Jim. You're part of a group that is looking at ways to make gun safety better in this country. Your group is WAVE. Has there ever been talk about maybe getting an insurance policy in place? And require insurance.
And Jim will give you a chance to answer that question when we come back. A quick break here. We're coming right back with Jim Santel on John and Gordy, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One step beyond!
WMDX, John and Gordy going one step beyond.
It is 6:52, weather today, highs in the low 70s, right now 54 degrees. You know, currently more than 6 million Americans are living with Alzheimer's, and over 11 million family and friends provide their unpaid care. We need your help in ending this devastating disease. Why don't you join us at the 2025 Walk to End Alzheimer's? It's happening Sunday, October 5th at Warner Park. You can go to our website, WMDXradio.com, and check out our Walk for Alzheimer's. Okay, time now to have Jim Conway join us. He is a professor of pediatrics and an expert on infectious diseases and vaccinations. Jim, good morning to you.
Welcome back.
Good to have you with us.
Yes.
Yeah, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
All right.
So much in the news.
There really is about vaccines, and that's one of the things that's confusing a lot of people. What we've seen in Florida with the Surgeon General's decree that they want to remove mandates for vaccines for everybody in the state, but including, of course, children in schools. It's scaring a lot of people in Florida. We saw a little screenshot of DeSantis addressing the issue. A lot of concerned parents are wondering what's going on and how all of this is going to unwind. And, of course, this still needs approval from the legislature in Florida. What do you think of something like this? I don't believe there's any state in the country that doesn't mandate some form of vaccine for children, at least.
Yeah, it's held up in court decisions now for centuries, really, that, you know, when we put kids into these places where we ask them to work and play together and share, unfortunately, one of the things that they're going to share is microbes. And so there is sort of a social obligation to keep kids safe in those settings. And one of the ways that we do that is to exclude them when they have illnesses. But as part of that, you can also then require them to have vaccines that'll protect them against these diseases, but also protect the other kids by having these kids not able to bring those diseases into the schools. And so, you know, that's held up now for literally centuries. And it is one of those things that parents have come to expect and teachers have come to expect as well, that they're going to be protected if we're going to essentially have these sort of mass congregation settings.
Yeah. Well, you know, the confusion over the vaccines, whether they work or not, we're finding out, of course, you know, from RFK Jr., who says they don't work. They're really not effective. And that, of course, creates a lot of questions for the public. Now they don't know whether the CDC is actually telling them the truth. It creates a tremendous amount of uncertainty in the public. And this is really doing horrible, I guess, public health concerns for everybody in the country. Consequences.
Yeah.
We have a cut here for this? Let me see here. I think I have something here. Oh, a CNN. Oh, here. Let's go to CNN stats on vaccines. Do you have that at all?
Let's look for that.
Yeah, 25.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Let's play that.
These agencies, the FDA, USDA, and CDC, all of them are controlled by giant for-profit corporations. 75% of the FDA's funding doesn't come from taxpayer. It comes from pharma. And pharma executives and consultants and lobbyists cycle in and out of these agencies with President Trump's backing. I'm going to change that. We're going to staff these agencies with honest scientists and doctors who are free from industry funding.
All right, let's stop it right there. Jim, what do you think of something like that, that kind of accusation?
Yeah, it's just a misplaced and misunderstanding of really how things work. I mean, certainly, you know, when pharmaceutical companies have to put their packets together to submit for review and approval of a drug, you know, they have to pay for that process. Hmm. But that doesn't mean that that's being used to then impact the decisions that are being made. You know, I think one of the things that we all have to recognize is that science to happen has to be funded. And, you know, that's a combination. It can't all fall on the backs of the taxpayers and the government. And so we know that the pharmaceutical industry funds a lot of the research that goes on because they obviously have a vested interest in creating products, but that's also how much of the best stuff works. And many scientists, many universities, many organizations work with those organizations to create the best drugs that we can get. And so it's really sort of a twisting of the reality to say that then that's exactly what's happening to, when the decisions get made on what gets approved. So, you know, while it may sound good in a sound clip, you know, really it's undermining the whole basis of how we get things done in this country and how science marches forward.
I've always heard that a lot of this research is actually funded by the public. The NIH, colleges, of course, have done a lot of research. And then it goes from the NIH into the FDA, and they dole out who gets these drugs to, you know, continue the research and refine the product. Is that how it works?
It's complicated because it really depends on what the product is and, you know, how the process works. I mean, certainly a lot of the basic science around the idea for vaccines comes out of just basic science. And you're right. You know, for years it's been funded by CDC and NIH and the others. And certainly, you know, universities fund a lot of that as well. But it's really sort of a give and take process. It depends on where you are in discovering and understanding the disease, discovering then what are the drivers of the disease and how do you protect against that disease. And, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, we wouldn't have any of these drugs if they weren't involved and weren't interested in helping us actually fix these things, because somebody's got to have the manufacturing capacity. But they've, you know, by definition in our country, got to have some output in a capitalist society. The U.S. pharmaceutical industry really, in many ways, has driven globally all of the scientific developments that we've seen. And that's certainly going to be, hopefully going forward, the way we see things still unfolding.
Yeah, it's very tenuous at this point. All right. Well, Jim, that's all the time we have at this point.
We appreciate you being with us.
Of course.
It's Jim Conway, professor of pediatrics. We appreciate it. And
we have so much more to talk about. We'll get you back on the program.
Mm-hmm. No worries. You know where to find me.
Okay, very good. We're back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning, our 7 o'clock hour just around the corner. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.